19. The Superiors, Piloting the Animal. Superiors are scarce, enhanced human beings. Although they look like and can interbreed with regular humans, the distance between superiors and regular humans is greater than that between a human and a chimpanzee. As a hunter, you must avoid superiors. You will never trick and manipulate them. They will mess you up. Superiors understand the concepts in this book. They are wise kings in their castles. They certainly don't fear dungeons. You could compare superiors to seasoned spacecraft pilots. You see, they recognize that they are piloting an animal. And they do it pretty well. How does an ordinary human being become a superior? Well, he must first be willing to place the characteristics of a superior in his holy grail. Learn everything discussed in this book and practice. A lot. Let's look at the characteristics of superiors. Becoming a dot. The great divorce. To become a superior, a human must undergo an internal separation, a divorce between his captain and crew. He must split the parts of himself that he can control from the rest, which he can only train or tame. By doing so, a human becomes a mere dot inside his head, and he pilots his body like a spaceship. This separation doesn't require foregoing feelings, becoming a psychopath. Instead, a superior recognizes that he and what he feels are not the same. Emotions are indicators, not absolute truths. So a superior pays attention to and questions his feelings as if monitoring a control panel. And he reacts in a manner that he believes appropriate, not how his crew wants. Sensations are advisors, not bosses. This divorce between captain and crew allows superiors to see the world through the lens of expanded self-interest and better understand themselves and others. Post-separation, a human grows his rational self and defines who he is as an individual. Life as a permanent outsider. Superiors are able to view their lives from an outsider's perspective, just like regular humans have no problem challenging foreign rituals, cultures, and behaviors. Superiors can question aspects of human life because they are able to observe from the outside. They examine their emotions, sensations, hidden associations, draws, their entire reality. By becoming a dot within their heads, a superior achieves masterful control of his body and mind. Broader rules, a requirement for exploration. Superiors know that they pilot an animal with instincts, a creature with dark thoughts and desires. So to explore their minds, they destroy established internal rules for acceptance and behavior and develop their own, which are broad. Slowly they create independent rules and defer matters of judgment to their conscience, not the rigid rules of others. Consequently, they are able to explore their minds and dungeons unafraid of meeting dragons. Superiors explore their dungeons, question their hidden associations, and are prepared to face what they find. Why do I compete with this human? Why do I hate him? Why do I love that frustrating human? Things like that. Observe the quarry. To reach the rarefied state of a superior takes time, and humans must put in the hard yards to observe themselves. Superiors understand that the two key words in the line by Sun Tzu, "Know the enemy and know yourself, in 100 battles you will never be in peril," are "know yourself." This knowledge is essential for completeness. Superiors realize that the prey they must observe is, actually, themselves. By exploring their thoughts and emotions, superiors escape haunting memories and are free to chase the future. Hidden associations and draws, the permanent investigation. As explained earlier, superiors use their emotions to their advantage. They see being irritated as an opportunity to understand better how their minds work, the meaning behind the irritation, and, when necessary, they try to change the meaning interpreted by their crew. Superiors know that as they gain self-awareness and discover what they want, it makes less sense to become upset by external things that are not real threats. By paying attention to and destroying wrong hidden associations, superiors slowly break the pattern of angriness commonly seen in humans. Consequently, they hardly ever get annoyed at others. Superiors are secure and robust. Superiors are not brain puppets. Instead, they turn the tables and teach their brains how to react. Superiors are masters of their emotions. Because their minds have an almost infinite number of drawers, superiors are unafraid of self-exploration. They know life isn't black and white, and so they don't swing from one extreme to another. 100% right or wrong, winner or loser. No fake threat or small mistake will send a superior to the loser draw. Low minimum requirements. Superiors understand reality better than regular humans, thanks to their countless draws. They know that to manage minimum requirements, perception is essential, and they understand that a high need for resources or alliances is a weakness. Therefore, superiors break their hidden associations, adjust their internal rules, and are almost permanently beyond survival mode. Superiors need little and want big. They are free. The superior's holy grail. Superiors don't have to live in poverty to need little. Having low minimum requirements is a mindset, not a bank balance, and superiors are actually often wealthy. Despite having low minimum requirements, these superhumans still search for the impossible without needing to achieve it. For a human to become a superior, he must dedicate himself to introspection and self-development. Also, rather than adopt a pre-packaged super-self courtesy of his social group, a human must create his own with a clear definition of success in mind. Superiors understand the complexities of life and, so, don't define success by single events. The dream of becoming a superior is but one of many elements that make up their tailor-made holy grails. Some consequences. Low minimum requirements and a unique, well-balanced holy grail applied. Take this book as an example. Obviously, we, the authors, want it to be successful, so it's part of our collective holy grail. Without a doubt, some critics will say the book is rubbish, and their negative views will make us feel farther away from our holy grail. However, with a well-defined and balanced holy grail that, by the way, should not be based on a single project like a book, and an understanding of the book's merits, we, as superiors, are not threatened by setbacks or criticisms. We don't deny critics. Instead, we listen and learn. Hey, there's always room for improvements. Do you see? Criticism is necessary, essential for growth. At the same time, should this book become a bestseller, we won't bathe in the bliss of euphoria. This book is but a small part of our holy grail. Can you see how stable and almost unbreakable superiors are? Less comparison and competition. Superiors have high levels of self-knowledge because they continually explore their minds. As a consequence, to determine who they are, they don't compare themselves with others. Superiors don't need many alliances either. A little social acceptance among close family and friends is usually enough. As explained, having their own rules of acceptance and behaviour, superiors defer matters of judgment to their conscience. While many humans compete excessively to prove their worth, superiors recognize that competitive behavior is more appropriate for male baboons wishing to win over a mate than for humans. In modern society, a human can get a partner and money, etc., without being excessively competitive. Superiors needn't win battles to build trust in the captain, because it's already there, due to their deep understanding of their abilities, skills, needs, and goals. They can compete, from time to time, for fun or necessity, but not nearly as often as regular humans. A superior understands that the real battle is with oneself. An interesting and permanent investigation. Superiors understand that self-investigation never ends. It can't. Like an elite athlete who ceases to train will turn to flab, a superior who stops looking inward will mess up his mind. At the beginning, self-investigation is extremely difficult, especially while rules of acceptance are still rigid. Over time, though, if done right, it becomes fascinating. With relaxed rules of acceptance, superiors live in a zen-like state. They enjoy self-exploration. And due to the multitude of hidden associations humans face every day, it is an endless pursuit, which is the best part. From birth to death, seeing the big picture. Regular humans distance themselves from the fact that they are animals, creatures that eventually perish. Superiors, on the other hand, use their mortality to their advantage. Doing so provides them with a realistic perspective on life. They see the futility of comparing themselves with others. Superiors plan for the long term while aware that no human's lifespan is certain. After all, at any time, every human is one lousy diagnosis or distracted driver away from oblivion. Though they understand that overthinking death can be troubling, at the same time, superiors know not thinking about it is denial. So holding death close helps superiors to choose which battles to fight and, therefore, make wise decisions. Mindfulness of their mortality combined with deep introspection enables superiors to create ideal holy grails, and so everything they admire points in the right direction. Appreciation of life's uncertainties helps superiors value their lives and the lives of others. Kicking the pleasure drug. Finally, regular humans are generally addicted to pleasure. They are what we call pleasure junkies, consumed by an insatiable thirst for a new thrill. Regardless of the goal, once achieved, most humans soon need more. More money, more wins, more friends. Pleasure junkies' lack of self-knowledge drives them on a continuous search for signs that they are worthwhile human beings, that they are socially accepted. The endless need for thrills haunts most humans. And when dealing with such desperate creatures, hunting becomes easy. In contrast, a superior's definition of happiness is inner peace, not strong feelings. Excitement and happiness are not one and the same. It's true that superiors do all they can to be happy. However, they appreciate that happiness is pure, and, if one is unaware of its presence, not easily felt. On the other hand, regular humans often notice happiness only when it's gone, and so their pursuit is never-ending. The experienced rider. In our view, regular humans, specifically their captains, control their bodies and minds like cowboys in a rodeo. They attempt to stay mounted while the bull does its utmost to throw them into the dirt. Control is minimal. Remember, humans are, in essence, animals. With time and training, however, superiors learn to ride and dominate the bucking bull. Conclusions. Superiors are masters of their minds, super beings. They are complete and have low needs and well-defined holy grails. Every superior knows which prey each human should observe. Finally, hunters avoid superiors. They will mess you up. Humans, try to be one. Final words. Counterattack. Some will view my writing The Art of Hunting Humans as akin to crossing the Rubicon, a villainous act of no return that will brand me an eternal enemy of humanity. As you digest the closing pages, though, I hope you realize this book is not a guide for hunting humans. Rather, it is my quirky explanation for why humans behave in the ways that they do, and how their minds work. I wrote this book from the point of view of an outsider, a visitor from another world, which I believe was necessary to expose human characteristics and the problems we all face. No author is an island, and my influences comprise a broad range of theories, philosophies, and books. No, not all books are for losers. Many are great. But I needed to get your attention. Psychoanalysis and psychotherapies, such as cognitive behavioural therapy, have impacted me. So too has neuroscience. I also get inspiration from philosophers and business strategies, such as Blue Ocean Strategy. Change management principles and sales and marketing techniques have also impacted me. I must state clearly that I am not a psychologist nor a professional writer. My background is in engineering and finance, which may, in part, explain my sceptical life view. Above all, please note that this book is a work of fiction. The concepts in this book are simplistic and are my interpretations of several books and theories. Of course, humans are far more complex than the framework I suggest. However, I believe a simple approach is necessary. A tome the size of War and Peace couldn't do justice to the topic of hidden associations alone. So I offer just a glimpse, some kind of rustic wisdom, let's say. Simplicity, though, doesn't make the concepts easy to understand and apply. To master them, many hours are required. After all, it's one thing to convince the captain, but getting the crew on board is something else altogether. So I'm well aware that this book isn't for everyone, just a few. Let's face it, most people want simple solutions for complex problems, and so for them, a guide that espouses positive thinking and correct posture, known as power positions, would probably be more appropriate. The problem, though, is that those books and techniques don't come close to addressing the problems humanity grapples with. I also make some harsh criticisms and express several controversial opinions. Do I want to stir hate? No, not at all. Those who truly understand my concepts will know that is far from the case. My purpose is to raise attention to the importance of self-reflection and the pursuit of wisdom. These things are often undervalued in society due to, in my view, poor marketing by the psychology fraternity, which consequently stigmatizes those who pursue inner knowledge or attend therapy. I want to get people talking, regardless of whether or not they agree with me, so I've tried to be as controversial as possible. Accepting or rejecting my simplistic explanations of the human mind is less important to me than getting people to recognize the need for self-reflection, focused on self-knowledge and wisdom. I call those who have mastered my concepts superiors, which may seem provocative and arrogant. I'm just trying to tease you and counterattack centuries of humanity undervaluing the pursuit of wisdom and self-knowledge. Call these wise humans what you will. While, at first, the general message of this book appears to be that humans are weak and you must explore and exploit their ignorance and flaws, you probably now know that isn't the message. Given you have completed this book, I hope it's clear that I have tried to explain the advantages of being more aware of our perceptions, beliefs, hidden associations, draws, holy grails, and minimum requirements, and not spending our lives led by invisible forces. That's the real message. I wanted to create a sense of urgency for change, highlight the importance of self-knowledge and wisdom, and expose problems with the status quo. The truth is that to change anything, we must first confront reality by exposing the problems humans face and articulating a convincing argument for change. So that's why I expose what, in my view, are human flaws and explain how to explore them. I believe it's time for humans to escape survival mode and be proud of trying to know themselves. They need the tools, and they also need to admire others who pursue self-knowledge. It's time to fix vanity. Last, but not least, my first child will soon be born, and this book is for him. I want to make sure my child understands humans, just in case I'm not around as a guide. I don't want to leave things to chance. the end. We hope you've enjoyed The Art of Hunting Humans, written by Sidney Mazzi. Read for you by Greg Patmore. Copyright 2019 by Sidney Antonio Mazzi Jr. Production copyright 2019 by Sidney Antonio Mazzi Jr.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.